Hey, thanks for joining us for today's sermon. My name is Phil. I'm one of the pastors here at Berean Baptist Church in Mansfield, Ohio. And we would love to help you connect to your next step towards following Jesus. If you visit our website at bereanfamily.com, you can reach out to us. We would love to pray for you and just connect you to the ministries here, what God is doing in our region. And so please check us out there. And here's today's sermon.
He's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah!
Amen. Friends, we are here today to have a celebration. We get to come together to celebrate the greatest day in the history of humanity. Have you ever been a part of a really big celebration? I hope so, otherwise that's kind of lame. I'm not going to lie. I have to go back a ways in thinking about a big celebration, like a big party. I was born and grew up in the Detroit area, hold your booze. And when I was a young kid, we used to take, my buddy's dad had a pickup truck and tickets to the Detroit Pistons games way back when they were actually a decent team. And I remember we all get into the back of the pickup truck, which is probably very illegal now to put like 12 kids in the back of a pickup truck and drive 45 minutes to a basketball game down the highway, right? But we used to do that. And I remember one year he got tickets to one of the finals games. It must have been an 89, 90, somewhere in there. And we get into the back of the truck. The Pistons won the game. We get in the back of the truck, and it must have taken 2 hours to leave the parking lot. Why? Everybody was celebrating. Everybody was screaming, honking their horns, having all kinds of just joy and jubilation over a stupid basketball game. Here's my challenge. When you leave here today, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But friends, we should celebrate. We should celebrate. The greatest threat that we have to face has been defeated in death and sin. It's gone. It's no more. We don't have to worry about it. Why? Because our King left his throne in heaven and came to this earth to die on our behalf. Oh, I'm a little excited. Guys, we can't have this joy. We can't have this jubilation. We can't have the excitement and the celebration of Sunday morning without the darkness of Friday and the despair of Saturday. They're real. They're real. And as I talk to you today, I am sure there are people in this room right now who are experiencing a deep darkness and terrible despair. Would you lean in this morning, if that's you? Would you lean in and listen carefully about this God who knows that darkness, who knows that despair, and who loves you beyond words? We're going to be looking at today Luke chapter 23. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. If not, we'll have the text on the screen. And if you'd like a Bible, in our connection center out there in the lobby, we have Bibles. We would be glad to give you one to have as your own as well. As you're turning, would you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father God, what an exciting day that we get to gather together. God, it's not about some bunny or some eggs. It's about your resurrection. You took our penalty. And you defeated sin, and you defeated death. And because of that, God, we rejoice. We rejoice. God, as we go to your word today, as we preach your word, as we sing praises to you, would your Holy Spirit move? God, every person who can hear my voice, whether in this room or online, is a child of yours whom you dearly love. May everybody feel and experience that love that comes from surrendering to your lordship. God, you have done everything for us. Help us to surrender fully to you and experience this great joy. God, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 49. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Friends, before the greatest day in the history of humanity could happen, there was darkness. There was darkness. Text says it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Several hours of darkness. As Jesus was on the cross, getting ready to breathe his last earthly breath before tasting and taking on death on our behalf. Darkness. The Son of God slowly and painfully dying, his body completely beaten, his dignity completely stripped away, his royalty ignored by his subjects, and there was darkness. There was despair, there was discouragement, there was disbelief, and there was great grieving. The world had turned dark because the world had rejected Christ, her creator, the one who had come to save. And when he went to the cross, because he is God, he knew exactly what was coming. He knew the cost. He knew it was going to hurt. He knew it was going to be humiliating. It was going to be awful. Yet knowing all of this, he still went to the cross because he knew it was necessary. It was a necessary sacrifice to offer salvation to those who were guilty of nailing him on that cross and us as well. Knowing what was coming, Jesus went to that cross, knowing the darkness and the despair that was about to take place. When he could have called a legion of angels to come down and just wipe out the enemy, he went to the cross to die for that very enemy. Let that sink in this morning. When the same group a week ago had called and cried out, "Hosanna to the highest," that same group now cried, "Crucify him." And when that happened, he had you in mind. And he went forward. When they whipped him, he knew it was the only way for your salvation. When they spat upon him, he stayed in it for your salvation. When they shoved the crown of thorns on his head, when they forced him to carry his heavy cross, when they threw him down onto the ground and drove the large nails through his flesh, and when they stood the cross up, taking away his ability to breathe without pushing up on the nails that were driven through his ankles, it was you he had on his mind. You see, that was our punishment that every one of us deserve. But our King came to take it for us. Our King came to take our punishment. And the glory of his Father and the salvation offered to you kept him going. See, this darkness, this despair, it came before this great celebration and jubilation. As I said earlier, some of you in this room or watching online, you may be experiencing a season of darkness right now, where you're crying out to God, but you just don't even hear the response. And there's a heaviness, and there's a weight. And you got up this morning, you're like, "I'm just going to force myself to go to church on Easter because it's what I do." You are a beloved child of God, and he knows that darkness. He knows the weight that you are carrying, as he has carried a far greater weight. I can talk from experience that I know what that darkness feels like. In 2002, in the fall of 2002, I was diagnosed with clinical depression and anxiety. I know what that feels like. And some of you right now, as soon as I said it, you could feel it because you're in it. Where everything seems dark, it doesn't matter. It could be a sunny day. It could be people laughing and joy happening around you. You still feel a great weight upon you. Can I tell you, my story is this, that when I gave that over to the Lord, he took it from me. And I don't have to carry it any longer. Would you lean into Christ this morning, knowing that whatever you face, whatever darkness you are experiencing or in right now, he knows that darkness. He knows you, and he loves you desperately. Our God is acquainted with your grief. Isaiah 53:3 says this, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." Speaking of the Creator, God. Friends, before the greatest day in the history of humanity happened, there was darkness. And there was despair, a great despair. Picking up Luke chapter 23, now in verses 50 through 56. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council and a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. I want you to place yourself in this story, this historical story. Imagine being a follower of Jesus. These past several years, you have spent every day with him. Almost every day, almost every night. You have seen him perform miracles, making the blind to see, the lame to walk, curing the lepers, casting out demons, making a whole meal for thousands of people out of just a few loaves of bread and fish. You've seen him do all of these amazing, incredible things, and you can't wait for what's next. What is tomorrow going to bring? What's going to happen next? You've seen the miracles. You knew his love. You knew his devotion. You knew his character, a perfect man. You've left your family to follow him. You've forsaken your job, your home, all the while thinking that this man you were following would somehow save your nation. But you still really didn't understand how. And now, it's all over. He's dead. This is the despair of Saturday. He's dead. They saw what happened. They saw him nailed to the cross. They saw the darkness, felt the earthquake. They knew it was wrong, but at the end of the day, they knew he was dead. And there was this great despair. The women were going to prepare spices to anoint Jesus' dead body, not because they thought that he would rise again, but that he would stay dead. They were without hope. Have you ever experienced a time in your life where you were just completely without hope? I think most of us probably have been to some degree. Friends, regardless of what's going on today, only God knows your tomorrow, and you can place your hope in him. Perhaps you know this feeling of despair very well. Maybe you've recently lost a loved one. Despite all of your prayers and pleading with God, you didn't get the answer you were hoping for or expecting. And maybe right now, because of that, you're sitting in this room or watching online and you're saying, "Why, God? Why did you allow this to happen?" And you feel this great sense of despair. Well, friends, Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, because of what happened on this Resurrection Sunday, all hope is not lost. We don't need to grieve as those that don't have a relationship with Christ. You have been saved if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You have this great hope. But friends, if you are here and you haven't yet put your faith and hope in Jesus, that despair is real. That despair is real. That darkness is real. It is heavy. But the good news is this: today, you came into this building, you turned on this stream, and you get to have another opportunity to place your hope and your faith in the one who came to save you. So while the end of this world, where we're all going to face death if the Lord doesn't return, death does not get the final say if you're a follower of Jesus. Would you put your hope and your faith in him today if you haven't yet? On this Easter, I remember the darkness and despair that happened on that original Easter weekend. And I remember that it happened to offer me and you salvation. And I remember while there was darkness and despair, and it was real, and it was thick, and it was awful, the greatest thing to ever happen was about to happen. You see, God always has the final say. The story doesn't end with a suffering servant. It doesn't end with a defeated monarch that could have been. It doesn't even end with the world judging her own creator. It doesn't end with his death. It ends with an empty tomb. You see, the tomb is empty and it is still empty. Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb with despair, mind you, to anoint his dead body, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. After the darkness, after the despair, after the loss of all hope that they had, when everything seemed lost, they discovered the empty tomb. Friends, this is the greatest exclamation point on the rest of the miracles in the Bible. The fact that Jesus rose from the grave validates every claim that we read throughout scriptures. Who can raise themselves from the dead? Only God. Only God. Maybe you've read through the Bible at times and you've had times of doubt going, how could that have happened? It's scientifically impossible. I had a recent unfortunate conversation with a man who would call himself a theologian, a professor at a college. He brought up the story of Joshua asking God to make the sun stand still in the sky. And he said, basically, it must have been a metaphor because that's scientifically impossible. Can I tell you something, friends? The Creator doesn't kneel to science. Science kneels to the Creator. And if Jesus rose from the grave, I have no problem believing that he stopped the laws of gravity for a moment for Joshua and his men to continue battling. I have no problem with that at all. If Jesus rose from the grave, it's the greatest exclamation point on every miracle the Bible records. And it is trustworthy and it is true. I've heard it said that many miracles in the Old Testament are scientifically impossible. Friends, can I remind you, that's what made them miracles. Goodness gracious. Can I tell you this? He's still in the miracle working business. The fact that God has changed me is miraculous. Every time I see somebody accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I am struck by the miracle that has taken place, where the penalty of death has now been taken away, that somebody has moved from death unto life, from darkness into the light. Friends, it's nothing short of a miracle. I want to see more miracles. I want to see more people moving from that darkness and into the light. Friends, here is what we need to know. Only God gets the final say. It doesn't matter how a final a circumstance may seem. God has authority over it. God has authority over it. He has authority over sin. He has authority over death. And he has the authority to save you. Would you put your hope and your faith in him today? It's not a day about bunnies. It's not a day about eggs. All those Cadbury ones are pretty good. It's a day about hope. It's a day about glory. It's a day we remember the cost that was paid for our salvation. It's a day that we can remember that when we go home and go to sleep not knowing if we're going to wake up in the morning, we can go to sleep with confidence because of what God has done on our behalf and the promise of his salvation. My question for you this morning is this: have you received his salvation? He died so you don't have to. He has risen again so you can as well. Would you put your faith in him this morning? Friends, the Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world by defeating death. I want you to listen to the following text, and I'm going to invite the band to go ahead and join me on stage. This same text, I've shared this before, the same text I read to my mother in 2010, almost exactly 14 years ago. I read this same text to my mother as she passed from this life into the next. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 57. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you received that victory today? It's greater than any basketball game that could ever happen. It doesn't just change today, it changes your eternity. Here's my challenge, it's three part. The first one is this: have you received God's salvation? In just a moment, we're going to pray. And if you haven't received that salvation that comes through your faith, putting your faith in Jesus, that believing that God, that he had died and was buried and 3 days later was risen from the grave, have you put your faith in him? Second challenge is this: if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, celebrate and praise God for his salvation. Nothing better could have ever happened to you. And the third part is this: now go tell somebody about it. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for a day of remembrance and a day of celebration. God, you died so we don't have to. You defeated sin so that we can walk in the newness of life. God, even in those moments of darkness and despair, there can be hope and there can be joy because you are with us and you love us and you have good things for us. We are your dearly beloved children. For those in this room or watching online, if you've yet to place your faith and hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I challenge you, do that now. Change everything in your life. Watch what God can do. With our heads down and our eyes closed, I just want you to simply raise your hand if today you want to put your faith and hope in Jesus for the first time. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to call your name. I'm just going to pray. If you're watching online and you want to put your faith and hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, would you just go ahead and send us an email, info@bereanfamily.com, so we can know you, so we can pray for you. God, we just thank you for your salvation. We rejoice in it. We celebrate the fact that you come to the grave, not to die and stay dead, but to die and rise again, to be the first fruit of resurrection, that all of those who follow you can know that one day too, we will join you in that resurrection. We thank you for defeating sin. We thank you for defeating death. We thank you for loving us enough to taking on our penalty. And God, now we celebrate you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you do me a favor? Would you go ahead and stand back to your feet? And as we remember what Jesus has done for us, would you sing with some oomph, with some vigor, with some excitement as we celebrate the risen Savior?